Shit, so to escape from reality? Yeah, I don't need this shit. I am reality. The way it ought to be, is the way it is.
Guys, welcome to the show. This is End of the Apocalypse. I'm Adam. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Chud X and Mrs. Chud X, correct?
Yeah, I usually go by Lanny.
I go by Mr. Lanny sometimes. I usually punch whoever says that, so let's lay off that one.
Yeah, that's same with the punching. Yeah, it's going good. How about you?
Oh, it's going well. Poured rain here all day.
Oh, really?
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yeah.
I've been drenched in sweat all day. It's been an 80 degree day.
Yeah.
But yeah. A white sky 80 degree day.
Yeah.
Unnatural white sky.
Yeah. We've been having those too. So what's going on? How are the chickens? Are they almost going to be dead?
One is
today.
Woke up to a dead chicken in the meat bird cage.
Yeah,
but they're all going to be dead next week, right?
Wednesday, full on the full moon.
Mm-hmm. How big are they?
But we weighed the dead one; it was 6.5 pounds.
Big boys.
Yeah,
and that one was a little bit smaller than everybody else. So I'd say they're all around 7.
Yeah, I had some that were pushing 10 pounds when I did it.
And what do you usually buy when you get a chicken? At the store, it's like 6 pounds max, or like the 6 pounds are the big ones, right?
I think they're like 4 pounds.
Yeah, it's like five pounds are the ones that.
Yeah, when I used to sell them, like the saline injected, you know, bag fryers, those they could be up to six and a half.
So they're going to be big. I mean, we're weighing guts and all, but it's going to be.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. But that's not that much. But
we'll be losing some.
That's up to. That 6.5, sure. You know, like, it's,
yeah, between four,
typically they were like four to five.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you looking forward to the big day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have some friends helping. So that's exciting. Max is going to come out. He's the one we met through the Telegram group.
Yeah.
He's our big donor.
Yeah. He's taking a day off work to come. He's excited. He's asked for the heads. I don't think I told you that yet.
Oh.
He wants to work with the skulls. He does some kind of cool jewelry making where I don't understand what he does. He like fuses some kind of metal onto other stuff with like
I've been meaning to ask him, do you know, have you asked him, are those orgones? Is there an orgone property to what he does?
I have no idea, but it's cool.
Fantastic. The first freeze of the day. Well, guys, we...
cool looking stuff, but he wants to try to use the skulls to make some jewelry or something. That's cool.
There's right. Our connection. Okay. Are we back?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back. Well, that's good. You got people to come help.
Yeah. And our friend Aaron, too.
I wish I could come up, but it would cost me like $800 in gas to get there. So
no shit.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But
is your truck diesel?
No, I just got a big V8. So
yeah, me too.
I got my little car, but still, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot. Yeah.
But yeah, what else is going on up there?
A lot of weed eating. I've been doing the fence lines.
Yeah.
It's time consuming.
Yeah, it's hard to get that distance down so you don't just hit the fence a whole bunch and
exactly. I've got a line trimmer, which I do this with. And I just, at the end of the day, I switched heads over to my brush destructor, which is those flail blades, which kicks freaking ass. And I needed to take care of some blackberries. And it's like, oh my God, I wish I was doing the fence lines with this. It'd be so fast for even, you know, like the majority of it would be fine. But getting up next to those T-posts, like I can't risk it with those flail blades.
Yeah.
Like it's just too much. Too much danger. It'll fuck up the fence. It'll fuck up the equipment. And wrong circumstance, it'll fuck me up too. So it's like, I just can't do it.
I got this stuff. Can you see that? This is like this. I just had a
twisty.
Yeah, it's twisty. It's steel.
Yeah.
Steel wire.
And oh, it's steel.
Like, yeah. No, it's the brand Steel.
Oh, Steel. I got you. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I use this stuff and it's pretty good on the grass.
Dude, I got a free roll of this stuff that's kind of a crosshair. Like if you look at it straight on, like where you cut it, it's like a cross. It
looks like an X.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of sharp. And I got a roll of that for free. Just kind of found it. Someone was going to toss it. That was like years ago. And I'm still on that. I don't know what I'm going to do when I run out. Like I'm only about halfway through it, but the head I use, it's probably, looking at that piece you just showed, it's probably similar. I just use three, I don't know, a little more than probably 7-inch pieces that I cut and then pull through so that it's not like a line feeder, but I just put the short pieces in. And man, that works freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I can go for over an hour if I don't hit anything major. Like if I don't hit too many T-posts or anything, it'll just keep going and going.
I thought you were going to say you could podcast for over an hour about weed whacker line.
I should reach out and ask that brush destructor guy if he wants to come on.
Yeah, he sounds rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were originally scheduled to do our homesteading type panel show, Feed the Beauty, tonight, but nobody else wanted to do it. So we figured we would do this one instead, just a bonus Into the Apocalypse. I'd kind of brought up some, I feel like we've said chickens were going to be the topic every time for that show. So I set up I thought a good topic would be that, I guess some people in the Telegram have been like saying like, oh, we need, I don't know if they've been saying it exactly this way, but I've heard a lot of people say like, oh, we need to move to Tennessee because everybody in the Pacific Northwest is asleep.
If I go to this state with these people, then I'll be free. That kind of a concept.
Yeah. And it's kind of my pet peeve. I guess I'm more sensitive to it because I live close to Portland. And like you tell people, you guys are the same way. You tell people you live in Washington or Oregon, and the first thing they're thinking of is Chaz or Antifa or riots, you know. And it's just like, you know, that's not, I mean, that is a part of two square blocks in downtown Portland, but it's pretty different in Oregon once you get 5 miles away from there, you know. So
right.
I think that there's community that can be found by people all over the place. And I think if you're having a hard time finding it, there's ways that you could probably do it better. And if you moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, you'd probably be just as disappointed, maybe even more, because you'd probably go to the local Kroger and there'd be people wearing face masks there. And just like they are here. And if you're not taking the steps that you need to go out and meet people, then it's probably just going to be more of the same there. I kind of feel like if you actually go out and find it here, it makes it that much more cool and important and like good, you know?
Well, when you were young, I remember when I was young, I really had this feeling of, once I'm old enough and I move, then it's going to be better. Or if I can move to Seattle, then it's going to be better. Or if I can, and it was kind of just chasing that idea of it's going to be better if I do blank.
The grass is always greener.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah. And in recovery, they call it pulling a geographic. It's the tactic of like, oh, I'm a horrible alcoholic because I have this group of friends here. And I don't have anybody that doesn't know me from the bar. And like, so, but if I get out of this situation and move to, you know, somewhere else, it's going to be different. And then there's a saying that goes along with pulling a geographic that is, no matter where I go, there I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's kind of, I don't know, if you can't find what you're looking for where you are, it's not going to be much easier to find it somewhere else.
Right.
You know, if you're a new person in a new town and you're already shy about speaking about freedom or trying to find people in that kind of community, then I don't know if it would be any easier if you're a new guy in a new town, you know?
Well, and it's the concept of freedom, the concept of living autonomously is something that you just have to do. Like you're never going to find Ancapistan, you know, like you're never going to find that place. I mean, even the places like, oh, we should all go to New Hampshire because that's where the Free State Project is or whatever. But then, you know, you talk to Ron and all he does is talk about Ron from New England. All he has to say about the place is how high taxes are. They pay some of the highest taxes in the entire country there. And, you know, freedom, it's something the thing that anybody who's saying that's having the geographic issue there, they're not realizing that freedom is something that is always there and you can always grab it. You just have to.
Freedom is the default.
Yeah.
That is where we started.
That is the starting point.
It's the natural way of things. Freedom, spontaneous order is the natural way of things.
It's kind of like when you get into the old libertarian arguments of like rights, you know, the government doesn't grant you rights. We're born natural free citizens. Like what they do is take it away. Right. Like that's like a hard concept for some minds to wrap their head around. And that's the same thing that people looking for freedom community need to wrap their head around, that you are free. We're all free. Everyone listening right now, you are free. You just have to realize it and act upon it. If you're saying, you know, it comes to that, we always have a choice. Everything is a choice. Mm-hmm. We're always making choices. You know, make your choice. Like you're free to choose. We were all free to not wear masks. We all were. We just a lot of people chose to wear them. Mm-hmm. We're all free all the time. It's just that, like, I'm free to not pay taxes, for instance. I just choose to because you know, I weigh out some battles and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do this to keep my family safe because I'd rather pay the mob off than have the mob off me. But
it's still a choice.
But it's a choice, and that freedom is there. And like the way I do take advantage of that freedom is I don't pay taxes whenever I see that to not be an unsafe decision for me and my family. That's why we do the markets. That's why we do things, you know, small scale and with people that we care about and trust. And that's like, we all always have that option.
Yeah. So for me, it was, you know, the problem with the air the past 2 years that thrust me into getting way outside my comfort zone and kind of recreating a whole new community of friends and acquaintances and people that I trust, not everybody that I like, but people I trust, you know. When did you guys first kind of start messing around in the freedom community? You know, I know Chud, you were involved with Ron Paul, kind of brought you in, so you've been at it way longer than I have. When did you guys actually start like seeking out people that freedom and liberty and you know, agorism, for lack of a better term, was important to?
So that wouldn't have been until 2021.
Yeah, that's when I found it as well.
So in 2020, it was just like, well, we saw what was coming early, and I found out I was pregnant in March, like right as that was happening. So it was all about protecting this life we were growing and staying working and doing what we wanted to do here on our homestead. So we were very much free that whole 2020, mm-hmm. but we weren't looking for friends, and we weren't spending time with family and a lot of the friends we had been spending time with prior to 2020. But then the baby was born at the end of the year, and into 2021, it was like, we should find some friends. Like, this isn't going, we've hunkered down for a year and it's not getting better. Mm-hmm. And so that's,
all right. I'll be back in a minute, guys.
That's when we decided to just like, fuck it. Well, sorry. What was last? Yes. So we started it. We decided we'd use Zoom. I also joined the Freedom Cell Network at that time, or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Freedom Cells was kind of like a ghost town, like, and it was really hard to navigate.
Yeah, it's really clunky, crappy website.
I know they're rebuilding. It's like totally taken down now and they're rebuilding it. So it'll be good. But they did have a map and I could see there was some dots on the map near us. So I knew there were people, but it seemed like nobody was really active. But I sent messages to anybody that was in my area on there and just thought, you know, if they eventually email us, then maybe we could try to do something. And then there was one guy on there that had directed us to a Discord group that was started here in Whatcom County. And that was started by somebody who's now our really, really good friend. And it had kind of a lot of people, and that's where people were meeting and sharing information about, you know, masks and mandates and like how to be involved. And then we found this group in town that was meeting physically once a week, and they were more like the libertarian constitutionalist types. And we used their mailing list and that group to like put the word out about greener postures that we were starting at that time. And we didn't really know what that was going to be. At first, it was the name of what we thought our Freedom Cell would be with just a few other people. And then we thought it would be something, I don't know. And then I just had in my head.
And even before that, that's what we were calling our homestead.
We were calling it here, but not outwardly, just for to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm.
That's where that pictures we yeah, started just associating right. it with our homestead,
right?
And then we started associating with the Freedom Cell. Then and we realized that the Freedom Cell didn't exist.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because the guy who told me to come to the Discord group kind of made it sound like they already had a Freedom Cell, but it wasn't. It was just a group of like at that time 30 people, and it's over 100 now, but it was like 35, 40 people on a Discord channel. And that guy who had recommended that to me never wasn't meeting people in person. Like, so it was hard. It was these stages of being like really excited to meet free people, and then realizing that they were all different levels of that. So that some of them maybe didn't wear masks out, but they were afraid of the air as well. And some of them were taking the horse drug like prophylactically and
yeah, constant, like
just
always.
Like taking it all the time, just in case they catch something. And then, you know, then there was other people.
And they give you a sly glance if you said something about terrain theory, like they weren't open to talking about these things.
Yeah. So it was like weeding through these people as we met them and finding people who really connected that understand that this is a spiritual war that's been going on for as long as mankind has existed. And like, they're trying to keep you down and the news and shit is just trying to pull your energy away from what's good, you know, finding those kind of people's that really in line yeah. with what was important to us.
But that guy that's mainline ivermectin and has never heard of terrain theory might have a pig or a cow that he'll sell you too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So while we didn't meet best friends forever or people that we want to move onto our property necessarily, we met some people that we feel like are almost family now and other people that have enough in common with us that we would rather do business with them. And a lot of these people are business owners in the community. So then all of a sudden I have a chiropractor I can go to, and I know I don't need to wear a mask and, you know, hairdresser or whatever else people need. You start to find the people in the community that are, you know, awake to the most important parts of things. So the internet was a big tool, as much as I don't like to admit it. So yeah. In us finding other people in town during that time where people weren't getting out.
Yeah. Chinese technology Zoom. Like that's how we know each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's totally why we met. But yeah. I didn't think you were actually going to kind of come visit us, because people say that shit all the time. Oh, I should come visit. You're like, yeah, that's great. So yeah. It really took you actually making that effort. You know, I know I heard you on your podcast.
People say that, like they say, yeah, I'm going to start a homestead sometime.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I'll start my homestead chickens. Right after I start my podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it did. It took you making that effort to come out here and meet us in person that really made our relationship as rich as it is. It's not just an online relationship. You know, you spent Thanksgiving with us, you know, and
yeah.
4 hours is a long drive, but it's attainable. Or it used yeah. to be before gas was $5.50.
Yeah, a gallon, I mean, I could still probably make it happen, you know. But yeah, it was the same for me. Like I got to the point in 2021 where it was like, it was you know, getting real, it was the summertime. It was getting real bad. And it was like really starting to ramp up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I heard, I was out walking the dogs at our old house in the suburbs. I heard John Bush on Pete Quinones' show. Mm-hmm. And I went home and like signed up for Freedom Cells and got a message like right after. It was like, we're meeting in the park today. And I was like, oh, this is really, really weird. I don't know if I'm going to do this. And I went, and Emily was like, this is super crazy. And she's like, I want to come with you, which was awesome, because if she hadn't said that, I might not have gone. And we went to the park, and it was six people. Ours was a little bit different, because it was this girl who is kind of from like the rainbow gathering, like hippie part of the freedom stuff that we talked about on our last show, Chud. Mm-hmm. And, but she was like pulling people. She's from like the hippie-ish anarchist community. She was pulling people off of Nextdoor also, like the Nextdoor app,
yeah.
Which, so there was like some real, there were some people there that were not familiar with like anything to do with freedom or autonomy. They just didn't really want to wear masks or something like that, but probably were like scared of the vid, you know? Mm-hmm. And from there it just grew and grew and grew, and there was like a massive need for it in Portland. But the problem was that it just got big with people who didn't want freedom. I don't know what they wanted, but it seemed like they wanted power, and it was like the kind of group where you could try to get it. But I was from that group. I was able to, you know, sift through it and separate out a few people. And, you know, Emily made some really good friends in there. Some of them faded away. And then we made friends. We're really close friends with another couple. And like, they were the ones that were the first people that we knew that actually like got out of Portland and got 12 acres out in the middle of nowhere and left. So I've been to their homestead too, and they've been up to ours. They're really fantastic people.
So is that where you spent Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But it's just getting, if you haven't done it yet, I'm really, and I always talk about 12-step stuff, but like it's really shaped me into being able to be uncomfortable and do things that I don't want to do, that I like think that I'm gonna hate, and then I go and do, and I'm like, oh, I'm really glad I did that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that I was able to go that first time, and it opened up a lot of opportunities to meet people and to learn. And I mean, the good thing about that was where that first whole Freedom Cells thing is where I decided to do like our first little underground farmers market. And you know, from there, because I did that, Monica Perez had me on her show, and then I met you guys because of that. So
yeah.
And then you guys totally copied me and started doing it. So
I totally credited you of that many times, but ours was way bigger and much better. So
yeah, much better.
And we had two.
I had two also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but ours were
better, and there was two. It's more like it's like four, because they were both really good. No, but it, you know, and then this year it doesn't feel like, I'm not really called to do that in the same way. Like at that time, I really felt like we were putting out this, we were shining a light out in the dark to try to get people to come to us and meet them. And we did. And like, as we talked about in our last or second to last episode of The World As It Is Today, and you guys talked about as well, it's like some of those people in that community aren't who we want to be close to us and aren't who I want to invite to my property. And I've always been, pretty not antisocial, but I'd rather spend the night drinking on my porch than go to a bar when I was a drunk. And I, you know, I would have people come over, but I'd always have like, you know, five or six close friends. I wasn't like a big social butterfly or whatever, or a social moth or whatever, but I just, you know, you want to pick the best ones and spend your time well, so that your energy isn't drained by people, you know?
Well, I did the opposite, and I feel the same way now Like, I think you took the right approach. You know, I was at the bar all the time. I had so many fake relationships that, like, relationships, like the wrong word, you know, like I had so many acquaintances and none of it meant shit, you know? And within that, there was like a core of like four or five people ever at a time that were ever my, you know, like actual, mm-hmm. you know, homies, my actual people I knew. And now that just seems like a no-brainer that that's the way I want it. You know, like, I don't know. You know, as far as like throwing those agoras this year, it's like, I don't know. Do I really want a whole lot of people around my place? Like, not really. But a year ago, I was yearning to see people because we'd just been cut off. You know, yeah. Nobody would hang out with here or
like in the community. There wasn't the parade, there wasn't the big get-togethers, there wasn't, you know, and I all the stuff that normally happens in town. Not that I go to those things.
I was gonna say, not that those
but just they're, you know, they're happening. But that
we really like turning down plants, you know.
We love it. It's like the best feeling ever to say, no, I'm just staying home tonight.
But you know, and now, you know, there's some of these things going on, like we can go out, we can even you know, we go sell sausage at events like the one we did with people who do love.
They'll be back in a minute.
Socializing and do love the world. Oh, we got
did you again. Move the puck?
I moved.
It's so weird because I guess it's like I have to talk for you guys to come back on.
And it's because we can, it's just when we get going for a long time and we can, and you're never frozen either. It's very weird. And we're plugged in with an Ethernet cable.
Yeah. And I've got the top of the line cable plugged in. Like, I don't know. And I when I ran off for a minute, I moved Mitch's Orgone that sits on top of our router. So I don't know. Well, it is what it is for now. We'll keep working at it.
Yeah.
Where was I? Oh yeah, I was saying in a perfect world to me, you know, things would march on as they do. And I'd be really happy to know that there's good people out there doing good things, like having markets and, you know, doing all the stuff, and that we could hop in and out as mm-hmm. as we so wish, but not necessarily be at the helm. No, we're not the first at the party. First ones to get there and last ones to leave, you know. We're just
we're the first ones to get there and the first ones to leave. That's my preferred.
Yeah, that's more preferred.
Yeah, but I mean, we met some really, really great people, and one of the person who started the Discord group in town. He's not really taking charge of it anymore. Somebody else is kind of taking it over. It's kind of changed gears, but he started it to try to get people to find each other. And the first time we met anyone in person through that was we were invited over. He just said on the group, hey, does anybody want any to come dig up any raspberry canes? Because we have our raspberries, you know, the stuff that gets out of line needs to be dug up and moved. So I was like, sure. And then I freaked out and I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to. What if we don't like these people? I don't want to know. You know, like I was really freaking out about it. I was freaking out of the whole ride there. I have what I tend to call front door anxiety, where it's just, I'm nervous the first time I go somewhere, then plus meeting someone online, then plus, you know, just like, I don't know, there was layers, right? And we did it. And then they're like, they were just over at our house for dinner the other night. They're like one of our best friends.
Within the first 5 minutes, I mentioned Pete Q. And everyone knew who I was talking about. And I was like, whoa, holy shit.
And that never happened to us in real life.
Yeah, I'd never said something about Pete Quinones to anyone.
But my in favorite real life part
had them know who I was.
Is they are like clearly like natural living, hippie types, spiritual, essential oils, you know, that kind of stuff, which I had never spent too much time with. That's my surface analysis of them at that time. They're much deeper, of course. But you mentioned when you had worked at the co-op, bringing up questioning if recycling was actually helpful.
Oh yeah.
And I looked at the guy's face like,
oh, I did it that day.
Yeah, I was like, these hippies love recycling. So I just like looked at him and he was like, uh-huh. Yeah. You know, you should think about that. Does it really work? Like, is it a scam? And I'm like, fuck yeah, these people are so rad, you know, like just to meet somebody in real life where you could talk like that. And they don't just immediately get mad at you because you question something that they've decided they already understand.
Yeah. What, let's see, what, I guess like it was, for me, it was a lot easier to, you guys were married a lot longer than I have been. So I had like a whole, like probably 5 years of, meeting people on the internet and then doing disgusting things with them like 3 hours later. So
you did some swiping left or right or whatever yeah. That's all about.
Yeah. We met on MySpace. So that gives away yeah. how long ago that was.
Yeah. But, I think we're lucky and we're like double weirdos. So we were kind of into libertarianism or probably really into it at some point. And then we're also into conspiracies. And I feel like if you're just like a conspiracy person, it would be like really hard to go find other just conspiracy people. But if you can like go and do it through like freedom and liberty, like it's always going to be built in to at least like 25% of the people, you know? So mm-hmm. that's kind of what helped me find, you know, which ones were good with me. But the people we met, like the people that we know who have a homestead down in a little bit further south than us, they were just like, they were super into Tom Woods, you know. But like I remember I was talking to him when I first met him, and I had just had David Weiss on the show, and they're like, "Oh, did you do a podcast today?" I was like, "Yep." And they're like, what'd you do it on?" I was like, "Oh, it was on Flat Earth." And they're like, "Oh."
can you please leave now?
They go, do you think the Earth's flat? And I was like, I'm open to anything. And like they probably thought I was nuts, but they were like okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
And then like then when I talked to them, probably, you know, when the first time we went down to their place and visited them, like the woman Sylvia, who she's like, you know, at this point, if the world was flat, I would not be. If they had been hiding that from me, I wouldn't be surprised, you know. So
because a lot of people who weren't into conspiracies necessarily. That changed in 2020 because you started to see, you could see before your eyes them changing history and changing vocabulary and the meaning of things and changing science right in front of your eyes and telling you, no, it was always this way. Mm-hmm. And if you were paying attention to that and you could see that as it happened, then geez, you had to start wondering, at least say, I have to be open to questioning other things.
Yeah, I was just talking with someone who a longtime friend who's maybe describe him as a softball libertarian pre-pandemic, and we're just catching up, and it's like, wow, they came full circle in the last three years. At least however long it's been since the pandemic shit started, that they're just like, yeah, the government, I now realize that the government lies about everything. And it was like, oh cool, like I knew you'd get there. It makes sense. I mean, anybody who was on the fence about whether or not the government lies about you know everything pre-pandemic, that this pushed you over.
If it's not lying, it's because the truth is better to control you than the lie that they would have told.
If they're not lying, it's because they don't realize that they're lying, so they think they're telling the truth. So you complicated. Know
what So I guess I'm doing this. This topic came up because some people in the Telegram group said, I can't remember if they said they were in Pacific Northwest or like far Northern California.
I can't remember, but I think they said they were considering moving to Oregon or Washington.
Okay. What would be your, what should be the suggestions on how people should, you know, meet people in real life and kind of build up this mutual support / friendship community? What are some ways to organically do it, do you think?
Well, I was thinking of this really cool idea. We should start it right now. That if you're into freedom, just wear an earring just in your right ear. Sorry. Young people won't even understand that joke anymore. I mean, really. But, you know, like you always wear this one band shirt, and nobody, that's not a well-known band, but it's a very recognizable logo. So if anybody ever sees that eyeball,
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Then they're like, whoa, hey. And you talk, right? Mm-hmm. So think about when you pick your clothes, like it doesn't have to say, you know, the earth is flat really big on your shirt.
Although that would be cool.
That would be rad. I mean, but if you know, you're not that certain of things, like I'm not, you know, maybe just, I don't know, have a patch that's orange and black or something softball like that.
I think the best way to go about this, sorry, I don't mean to derail it. I'm kind of just being funny, but if we all just get the Space is Fake and Gay shirt.
Yeah,
that'll be the new
and uniform. We all have like 5 of them, so we wear them all the time, then you'll know who's cool.
Yeah, I haven't had the balls to wear that into Portland yet, but there's like this FedEx driver. It's like she looks like she's from Portland. She's like this, she's really nice. She's just this small like little like green haired chick with tattoos, and like she got stuck in my driveway once, so she like stops at the end of the driveway and drops the packages off there now. And I was out doing work and I saw her, so I like went down to meet her, and I was wearing that shirt and I didn't even think about it. But yeah, I wonder what people think, because I'm not what people expect when they see my driveway. But
yeah, mm-hmm. Well, and if you wear those things, I mean, just be smile and be friendly and be helpful to people, you know, like, I don't know. That was always my favorite thing when I looked like a shitbag, is just like surprising people by being like a real stand up person.
Okay. So I think I just decoded something as you were saying that, hon. It's like, that's what I did throughout the pandemic in the height of it. I didn't wear a mask. And I smiled, got along with everyone, and spoke with everyone as though they were there, as though everything was normal.
Yeah.
And that in turn, like just not wearing a mask, being friendly, being actually like the most like human person in mm-hmm. a store during that time, like made me stand out like a sore thumb of like, A, I was an enemy to most people because I wasn't wearing a mask, but B, like I was being a good guy, you know, like, yeah. And like at the same time, unless you're so hung up on the fact that I'm not wearing a mask, you'd be like, oh shit, there's like one person who's helping that old lady like pick up the shit that she dropped,
yeah.
You know, because everyone else is staying 6 feet away and mm-hmm. not helping anybody or whatever. And that in turn, like gave a big signal to everybody. Not that it worked, you know, I didn't have too many people come up to me and be like, oh, hey man, are you in Freedom?
Okay, you guys are frozen again. Let's see if it comes back online right now.
Not but yet. I okay, mean, there I don't are. Know. Some kind-
so, keep going.
There. So if you take that idea as just being friendly and being like a good person when you're outside and like not being as too shy to make eye contact and smile at somebody, that sets you aside from the normal people these days. But then also, you know, we're here because we're talking about the Deborah Gets Red Pilled Telegram channel. If you're not on that yet and you're listening to this and this applies to you, besides Chad, he has an excuse. You're on there through me. I just jump on there and introduce yourself. Or if you're there and you've never introduced yourself, say hi and say where you're from. Like maybe you'll meet somebody that is nearby you. And you know, if you have this show in common, there's a good, that's a good launch pad. You know what I mean? It's a good starting point.
Yeah. And look at the fact that we're here in this small town in Northwest Washington, and we've made a good friend, a good real life connection from Deborah Gets Red Pilled.
And from the Telegram group.
And I've seen, I don't know, maybe it's the same guy, but I've seen at least like 2 comments on YouTube where people are like, oh shit, are you in Bellingham? You know, like there's people here, mm-hmm. which again, just like when we met the Freedom Cell guys and I said Pete Q and they knew who the fuck I was talking about, that blew me away because I was pretty sure I was living in this isolated little college town area where you were either a Trump guy or you were a college student.
Yeah, you lived in the county and you had a little land and you were for Trump and you had big flags on your truck. Or you live downtown and you are a college kid.
So as far as community goes, I think there's community everywhere.
Everywhere. There's somebody else in your town that thinks like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody was offering up, if you're in North Carolina, somebody was offering up seeds and breast milk on the Telegram.
That was awesome.
Is it from the tap?
Come to your house and let you and
big
let
fat get... slob shows up like, yeah, where's that breast milk? Yeah.
But you know, kinda what hungry. Like honestly, that is like the most noble thing you could do right now, because if there's a formula shortage and there's babies out there that are not feeling well because that's all they're eating anyway, that's like the nicest thing that you can do is donate some breast milk. So good on you. I've never done it, but I got plenty if anybody needs any. Hit me up.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain things. I think it irks me when people talk about conflate Portland and Oregon, but if you're in Portland, you're going to have a harder time. There's community there sure. But I mean, if you're already talking about moving, don't move to a city. Get out of the city as much as you can.
Yeah. And if you're in a city and you want to move, you don't have to move states even. Just get the fuck out of the city like you did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's rural Appalachia where I live, you know, and I live
and I can still drive to work and make good money.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think your prospects are going to go way up once you get out of the city. But then also just not needing to connect like on every single level, like what we're talking, like how we did. Not everybody's going to do that. You're going to have relationships. You're going to have to divide up your relationships. You're going to have like my neighbors are nice enough people. I don't really want to hang out with them and be friends with them. I think they're vaccinated and they fucking drink a lot. So, but I can send them one text and get a half a cow, you know, it's stuff like that. And like, that's like hard to do if you're in an urban setting. But I think, it's just getting over that hump and trying to meet people. And like, it's the age of the internet. You can go, there's meetups for everything. And I, you know, No Agenda, I always talk about as meetups. Hireside Chats has meetups. I think there's a No Agenda meetup in Portland I go to probably 50% of the time. It was a little bit annoying last time I went. It was just like a bunch of people like yelling over each other about the, you know, Agenda 2030 or whatever they knew about Klaus Schwab. But I think I might start one up in Longview, like way closer to me. And I think a lot of people advertise them with the Higher Side Chat ones. So I might start doing a Deborah Gets Red Pilled Higher Side Chat, No Agenda meetup in a bar or something in Longview or someplace close like that, and see if anybody shows up, you know. So,
and it's summer, you can do a park too, you can do a potluck, like just get people together. And it's not going to be perfect. Like if you think about your first experience, Adam, when you went to that park and you weren't sure, you could have gone there and been grumpy and looked at all of that as like, just, oh, this is bullshit. You know, this isn't what I like, but like you said, trying to do stuff that you're uncomfortable with and just be really open. It's like, just try to open yourself enough that you have enough of conversations with people that you can kind of see which ones you might want to get together with and talk a little longer, you know, and that can lead to something.
Yeah.
So Freedom Cells, the Telegram groups for different podcasts. I mean,
There's a Telegram group for everything right now. And getting on there and being like,
bringing people together,
being like, I live in Shasta County, California, who wants to meet up, you know? So.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to state or restate that, like I do think that getting out of the city is a great idea for anyone for a number of reasons. I encourage anyone who's in a city to get the fuck out of the city. But this whole idea of hopping state lines, like it's, I don't think it's going to provide you with what you think it will. It was probably 2 years ago, I got in a little bit of a Twitter thing with Vin Armani, where he was telling people, like, if you're in a blue state, now is the time that you need to think about leaving.
I think he was telling people to leave the country, period.
Yeah, I think he'd been saying that. And then he was saying, but if you're in a blue state, like, that's when you really need to be considering where you're located. And I just like tweeted back, like, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I'm on family property, and you know, I mean, maybe even I just moved on to family property, and I don't see this as a viable option. And I'm in one of the bluest states. I might have probably said where I was in Washington. And he replied, then you need to reevaluate what's more important to you, your family bloodline or your freedom, you know, or something like that. And, you know, and we had a little bit more of a back and forth, but it was this kind of like, you know, I felt from him, I don't give a shit about him. It's just, there's this idea that like, if you're in Washington State or Oregon State, like you need to get over to Idaho because Idaho is like, that's the place that our types of minds need to be. But yet we've stayed here this whole time. We stayed here all the way through the pandemic and we were essentially unaffected by it. Most of the ways in which we were affected was like family members who bought into the whole thing. And now our relationships are just a little more strained.
And it wouldn't have been any different.
That would just be more strained if we were farther away.
Right. And you know, your job got shut down, but there were other jobs you
sure, but possible. But I hardly even noticed that.
There was other things to do, you know, and we've always feel free when we're here on our property.
And it comes back to what I was saying at the very beginning of that freedom is always there. You just have to take it. I don't think you're going to find a better group of friends. Well, or maybe a better group of friends would be a reason to hop state lines, but not because you're going to find a better group of friends, because you have a group of friends who are someplace that you know that you'll fit in with, you know, like if someone was moving here to our, not just our state, but to like our county. Yeah. Right. Like maybe that would make sense because we're friends with them and they'd be like, cool, I already have at least one connection. Or
and then that, yeah,
by proxy, they have six or eight connections here. But beyond that, I mean, if that works out for you, that works out for you. But you know, keep in mind too, internet relationships are different than real life relationships. You know. I think that, like, for instance, the idea I've heard people in our circles say, like, well, we should all just, you know, move to the same place in whichever state, and we'll start a big podcasting community, you know. And it's God. Like, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I'd hate all of you motherfuckers so if we were all like living together.
You know, that's the reality too of like we've established that when we've talked on our podcast, and Adam, I've heard you say it too. You don't want to start a commune. You don't want people coming to rent part of your land. You don't want people moving their trailers onto your property. Like you live there because you want somewhat of, you know, isolation or at least the option of that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're that type of person and you want a commune, I know there's communities that are starting in places, you know, look for that, whatever, but just
leave me the fuck out.
Having our own space and then still being, you know, within, you know, a short drive or walk to other people that have similar values to us is a good feeling. And using, you know, each other for things like expanding our raspberry patch or finding out where to get a half a cow from. It's like super valuable. Oh, Wilma.
Yeah. You know, I think it would be amazing if like, you know, this road that we live on is a dead end road. It's about a half mile long. If the entire road was parceled out to people who were like-minded and this was like its own community on this little dead end road, I think that would be the most amazing thing. But like a big key to that would be, it would all be private property.
Fences.
Yeah.
Fences make good for neighbors, right?
It's absolutely true. You know? And, I don't know, once you start getting into that commune concept, like,
rose up again, guys.
Like, oh, hey, you got 25 acres.
Okay, once you get into that commune concept.
Then if someone says, you know, hey, you got 25 acres, they can build a lot of houses on that. You know, like, it's like, yeah, but we would need to really have, like, defined lines of this is mine, this is yours. You know,
and personal property is integral to personal responsibility.
Absolutely. Like, this is kind of the autistic libertarian still stuck in me. And I still stand on it that, like, unless I can say, no, this is my space and you stay the fuck out of it. Like, in a moment, like, maybe I just need time to myself, or I have a way that I want to raise my crops or my animals. It's different than you, like, to have my own autonomous area. And for me to not be able to say anything on you, I feel like it's kind of the only way that we could get along. But that said, I do think that people being neighbors is a good idea. Like-minded neighbors. Yeah. I wish everyone who lived on this road was cool. Mm. Like, I wish that they're not, but, you know, that would,
it would be awesome, but it's not necessary.
We wouldn't need to have markets at that point. You know, we'd have one all the time because
we'd all just be trading with each other as when we see each other or when we need something.
Whoever thrives on whatever that is they thrive on. You know, one person's great at raspberries, one person's great at layer chickens, one person's great at meat chickens, one person raising cattle, pigs, you know, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing with multiple things, but everyone has like a strong point. It would all just come together. I'm nearly certain of that, but maybe I'm being too idealistic.
Yeah. I'll keep doing it. I'm going to keep putting up Redfin ads for 19 acres of beautiful property 5 miles away from me, you know.
Yeah.
Come live by me. I'd appreciate it. It's awesome here. And yeah, you know what? If nobody wants to move to Oregon because of Portland, oh well, maybe I'll get some.
That's their fucking problem. Yeah, they're not going to grab the freedom there. Yeah, because they're afraid of fucking Portland. You know, I'm not afraid of Seattle. Chaz was in goddamn Seattle.
Yeah,
of course, that's pretty far away from us. Bellingham's much closer. And Bellingham on a small scale is probably fucking worse than Seattle. But I don't give a shit. I worked there and I don't care. You know, like, that's the matrix. You know, I refer to it a lot these days, is that, like, when I go to work, when I go into town, that's the fuck, when I leave my property, I'm entering the fake world, which I do need to use to function, to stay, to keep my family safe. You know, that's that tax paying shit that I was talking about earlier. But, you know, when I get home, when I'm here on my property, this is total freedom. I'm certain that this is what freedom feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I might be wrong. I don't know the exact intricacies of Texas versus Oregon, but living in Texas Hill Country on acreage, I don't think is that much different as far as freedom goes than living here or in Tennessee.
And then if you're in Austin, is it that much different than Portland?
Oh, no, not at all.
Right?
No, Austin's terrible.
So it's like, even that area still has that city that's got the bad reputation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, exactly. As long as you're out of, you know, you go to Tennessee and go pay taxes at the grocery store. They do that there, you know,
they tax food there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They have, it's cause Nicole Sauce came on our show and she's like telling us that there's like, they have like this like 2 week tax grocery tax jubilee there or something a year.
I listened to that episode. I remember now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, but you go stock up during that time so you don't have to pay the state for your food. Well,
and you know, there is something to jumping states, like particularly during the pandemic. Like we went and visited Idaho in 2020, and it was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it was like we crossed this magical line that you can't actually see. It's just because there's a sign that marks it.
After Spokane, it got really awesome.
And then all of a sudden it's like we stopped for gas, and instead of like having to mentally prepare myself to walk in to buy a package of corn nuts, I just walk in and they're like, hey, what's up? Like, they don't, like, I don't know. Cause I was at a year at that point of like,
yeah,
every time I walk in, like
that ramped up adrenaline starts hitting you, you know,
gotta get ready to go.
I just gotta be ready. It's going to be a conversation. If nothing else, it's going to be a conversation about this bullshit. And all of a sudden it was like, I don't know, we were there for like what, 4 or 5 days, and you know, it's just like, oh, this is nice, you know, like everything we do we forget about it because nobody's wearing masks and nobody gives a shit. So there is something there, but at the same time, we did fine here in this blue ass COVID fearing state without wearing masks. So is the idea that we should move to Idaho because it was easier? Maybe that's just us being too concerned with what other people are doing at that point.
Right.
That's that idea that you can grow sprouts in your windowsill, even if you're in the city, you know what I mean? You can seek out that freedom, and it doesn't matter where you are. And then, yeah, sure, try to improve your situation if you can get out of the city, but
yeah, you grow enough sprouts on your windowsill, you'll eventually leave the city.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So don't stop. It's a gateway to gardening, sprouting seeds.
Well, guys, we've been going for almost an hour, and Chud and I have to do another late night podcast tonight. I just wanted to do this, and I'm glad we got to do it because I was ready to do a podcast anyway. And if anybody out there needs help finding your own community, I'd love to try to help you at least. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope some of the stuff we said today, at least it can be helpful, or at least inspire some people to think about it.
Yeah,
in a certain way.
Yeah, and you've got the Telegram in your notes for every podcast, right? Yeah, get in the Telegram group.
Yeah, get in the Telegram group. You can reach out to me in any way that you can reach me: Twitter, Instagram, email, Telegram, whatever. And go to that'd be awesome if a whole bunch of people from our show, even if you don't listen to No Agenda, started going to No Agenda podcast or No Agenda meetups.
Yeah,
and you can meet people there. Yeah. So opportunities are there, guys, and you just got to go get them. And I'd love to help you do it. And I know you guys will help people too, because you do it all the time. And I'm happy that I'm happy we're friends.
Me too. I have an exciting announcement to make that I've started a website for Greener Postures. So we actually have a legitimate website, greenerpostures.com now.
Hell yeah.
So check it out and tell me about all the broken links or misspellings, and I will keep working on it.
And then food preservation, fermenting for food preservation on Friday?
Yeah, Friday, July 8th at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Zoom. There's still spots to sign up, and we've got some other podcasters. Again, Kyle from Big Dumb Podcast is going to come with his fiance, and Shane from the Inquiries of Our Reality is coming with his lady as well. Cool. A bunch of other people. So you can sign up through the website, or you can just email greenerpostures@pm.me.
Yeah, right on. My Tapache game is pretty good, and my Kvass game is through the roof. I'm
awesome.
Killing it.
That's great.
I'd heard, I think, from Lanny from Telegram that you were a little concerned about getting a little triggered by Tapache for Boozy. How did that go?
Emily was just being weird, and she kind of got weirded out by it. And then I tasted it, and I was like, whoa. And then when Lanny said that it wouldn't be any different than the regular Kvass, I was fine with it. And that stuff's so it's tasty. So
it just has a more subtle flavor, so it can kind of feel more like a beer. But unless you ferment it for a long amount of time with a lot of sugar, it's not gonna get the alcohol content any more than a berry Kvass.
Yeah, Emily's at the store right now. She says she's gonna bring me home 2 pineapples. So I'm gonna do a double batch in those big giant 2-gallon jars I got.
Awesome. Hey, and I don't know if you saw. So if you do a Greener Postures workshop, then you get into this exclusive Telegram group too. Yeah. And one guy on there, Cliff, he asked the question if you could use the same pineapple peel and core to do a second batch of
Tapache,
and he did it. Nice. Yes. So I've done it with beets before, and I knew that, but
I do it with all my beets. I do a second batch.
Me too, but I don't know why I'd never thought to do it with the pineapple peel. So I'm excited to see if you can get more 2 gallons out of one pineapple instead of just one.
Yeah. The peach and the pear were really, really good. Strawberries, I think, my favorite, but
it's probably the best.
I don't grow strawberries yet, so they're like $5 a pound.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've had so many strawberries.
So it's like awesome. So I get like four bottles for $10. So
yeah.
But the peaches are a lot cheaper here, and the pears were good, man. The pears, I was a little worried. It smelled, I just used like regular Bartlett pears. I didn't peel them. It smelled kind of like shoe leather while it was fermenting, and then it it came out and it tasted good.
Yeah.
I sold it all to a bunch of hipsters at some like vintage clothing fair at Emily's new studio.
That's awesome. You should, if you have blackberry bushes on or nearby your property, that's
I got a few.
So good for kvass. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait. Apples are coming soon. So I'm just going to harvest apples. So, but guys, thanks for sitting in with me.
Thanks for doing this.
You know, holding up to the schedule that we had planned out for a long time. For sure. So I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Chud, I'll see you in a few hours. It's gonna be a good one too.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right, guys. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people. Oh, those black babies? Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.